Boom, boom, boom.
Lottie often calls me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. Lottie often calls me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. No, for meeting brand new fellas and taking other folks' girls.
Tuesday, you are listening to The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel. 850-437-1620 is the number to text this beautiful, sunshiny Tuesday morning. Dare I say perfect, Mr. Wiggins?
Pretty close to perfect for me, I'll tell you right now.
This weather is right up your alley.
It is so, so nice. It really is.
Well, we would love to hear from you this morning. If you have a question, I'm sure you do. Maybe your question is same as mine. What is giving me these new allergies this week? Dare I ask that as well? Well, Mr. Wiggins has the answer for you. Mike is here to answer all your questions on the Garden Line. 850-437-1620. See, our phones are already lighting up. Texts are coming in, so make sure you get those in. But before we get started, what do you have for us?
Well, I was just going to say, talking about sneezing and such as that, I'm blaming a lot of this on ligustrum. My ligustrum, which I have a couple of big ones in my backyard, are solid white from the blooms. And if anything will make you sneeze, it's those blooming ligustrums. Now, they don't bloom that long, not all year, obviously, but my goodness, they really, really will make
they're
you...
They're popping right now.
Oh, yeah, they'll make you sneeze. I'm sure there are other plants out there that are doing that also, Jenna, but I'll tell you right now, the ligustrum are amazing.
Is
really
that just
are.
Is that the flower part because
yes,
they're blooming?
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes, yes.
They're a high pollinator?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And, of course, I'm blaming every malady we have on the oak tree leaves. But
oh,
I promised last week I wasn't even going to talk about it again. So the oak leaves are not really falling as bad. Now it's the tassels that are falling off the oak trees. And if you drive through any subdivision, you can just see the streets. Or whoever has the oak tree, the street is just littered with that stuff. And
yeah, but you know what? And I've griped about this before, Mike. I don't like when people take their leaf blower and blow all their junk into the street.
Quite honest with you, it should be just the opposite. You should blow what's in the street onto your yard, then let your lawnmower pick up the leaves.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to do it. I totally agree with you. It just drives me crazy, especially when you're driving down the street in your car and some guy's blowing everything into the street and it ends up blowing all over your car. It can be a mess. So I totally agree with you. And, of course, in the city, if you're a city resident, we're very fortunate. And we have street sweepers
yes.
that get out. And that's why I tell folks, and this is not horticultural, is, be sure to, put your garbage cans, on the lawn. Don't put them on the street because when the street sweeper comes by, he has to go around them and you don't get your street swept. So,
right.
So just little things like that make a big difference.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Okay, so we've talked a little allergies right out the gate. Talked about the oak leaves. We don't like them, but we deal with them, and they're great for if you want to wood chip them. And
let's talk Mother's Day.
Okay.
Real quick, Mother's Day. We had a great Mother's Day. We did all kind of activities with the kids and the grandchildren.
Yeah.
But from a horticultural standpoint, one of our children sent us, two of our children, sent us these gorgeous angel wing begonias in these large pots. And I bet the whole thing stands at least 2 feet, maybe a little bit more, in nice terracotta pots that we can put on either side of the front door. Beautiful plants. These are, look up angel wing begonia on your computer there, Janet, because they really are pretty. So many different varieties, speckled leaves, but the leaves themselves are sort of in the shape of an angel wing, hence the name. But they really are pretty plants. We've never really talked
inside?
About them here. You can grow them inside, absolutely. I think that's rather difficult to do. I'm not sure they're really going to thrive inside. I think outside in a semi-shady area. They don't want full sun, that's for sure. But in a semi-shady area, I think you'd have a really nice plant for the summer. I really do. But the ones we got have the red blossoms on them, and they are just spectacular. They really are.
That's so, I got a bouquet of flowers. Nothing that I can continue to tame. So I went out and bought my own plant.
Maybe that's what's making you sneeze, John.
What's
in that flower
true.
Arrangement?
I don't know, but they're so pretty. All my favorite colors, like peaches and whites and dark greens. Mm-hmm. But I ended up going to Palafox Market on Saturday, and there's a great farmer. He sits at the corner of Chase and Palafox. Okay, yes.
Right.
And he's so sweet. I forget his name. It's just falling out of my brain. I apologize. But he has some of the best plants you'll ever find at the best prices.
Is that right?
Oh, my goodness. And he comes from Alabama to sell them at the market. But I got some beautiful lavender and some mint because I love making some... mint lemonade. Yeah, those two. But a nice little thing to check out on a Saturday morning with your with your family.
Yeah, we need to do that for sure. One other thing, gentlemen, before we get started here, I had a cup of coffee this morning with Paul from Blue Sky Landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice chat and really did talking about, you know, the business and what's going on. And we talked a lot about new plants that he has found and is trying to grow and has identified. And I also talked to him about what we might talk about today if we have time, is that PowerPoint that I got from Daniel Leonard, who's a agricultural agent over in Calhoun County, which has some of the new plants. We started talking about that last week, but there are a lot more that we can chat about today. But I think what we talked about at breakfast this morning was kind of the basics. Here we are in May, that we really need to pursue the basics insofar as our lawn maintenance especially. And, of course, and we will probably sound like a broken record by August, but it's the mowing and the watering that is going to make the difference. There's no doubt. You've got to mow it high, 4 inches St. Augustine, 3 inches Centipede, 2 inches Zoysia, that type of thing. Got to mow it. Cannot scalp the lawn, especially with all this heat coming, and you've got to water. We've had these rains, but we really haven't had that much rain. So I would kind of get on a schedule here in your yard. Probably, I like mine. I'm over. I have a real sandy soil. Live over off Scenic Highway, and a real sandy soil. So I'm trying to go about 3 days a week on my sprinkler system. Always let the grass tell you if it needs watering. Remember now, if that grass blade kind of folds up, it needs water. Mm-hmm. If you're walking on your lawn and it kind of, the grass stays pressed down where you walked, your lawn needs water. If you run your lawnmower over it and you can see where the wheels went, many times that means your yard needs water. So if you can water and mow correctly, Paul agreed with me that many of your weed problems and even your insect problems are going to be under control. To keep that grass healthy and thick, that solves a whole lot of problems. And as we get into May, as we all know, our grass is really growing now. So that's kind of what you have to pay attention to. But also, if you haven't fertilized yet, do it. It's not too late at all. A lot of the experts, a lot of the state experts will tell you that May is a great time to fertilize your centipede, St. Augustine, zoysia grass. So if you haven't done it, do it now and be prepared. You may want to buy enough fertilizer for that St. Augustine as you get into late June and July to do it again for St. Augustine. Not really for centipede, but for St. Augustine. So be ready for that. So you got to just kind of, you know, it's time for the basics insofar as maintaining what we've got. A lot we can talk about on plants, but for the turf, those are really important things.
Okay. Hey, on that note, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's hit some of these questions coming in. If you do have a question, 850-437-1620 is the number to text or call this morning if you would like Mike to answer it here on the Garden Line. I'm Jenna Barr. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's 9:17 this morning. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your questions. Let's get to them right off the bat. My zucchini is 18 inches long now, but still not dark green. Is this normal? When can I harvest it, Mike? That's from our friend
Anna.
You
may want to wait a little bit longer. I think, quite honestly, I know this is going to sound silly, but we've had some cooler nights. You know, it's just been a little bit cooler. And I think some things may have slowed down just a little bit. So, I think you may be a little premature in harvesting right now. I would wait maybe a couple of weeks. You'd
That's
be in good shape.
That's a long zucchini.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a big zucchini, but I'm excited
really?
To see where it goes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, we're at the point now where some of those things are ready, some are not, depending on when you planted it and the size of your transplant. But, I think you have to take into account it's been a little cooler. I mean, we're going up into the 80s, but
right.
in the 60s
it's been
at night.
Perfect.
It's been just nice.
Oh, it's so
really
nice to sit outside.
So I think you could wait a little bit longer.
Just sit outside at night and talk to your zucchini. You'll enjoy the weather, and the zucchini will enjoy you. That's your advice from Jenna today.
They are great conversationalists. You know that.
I bet.
A zucchini, really.
That
really
comes from a television show, by the way.
Made it up.
We're on the television show. It's from Gilmore Girls. The guy is a farmer, and he believes in talking nicely to his plants so they will grow better. And so
believe that on the garden.
Oh,
line.
So I talk nice
of
to
course.
My plants.
Oh, yeah.
I sound a little crazy, and that's why my neighbor doesn't talk to me, but that's all right.
The crazy lady next door talking to her plant.
Oh, here's another one. Can I use all-purpose sand to fill in some low and wet spots on my yard? I usually use play sand, but they delivered all-purpose.
I think just so that I'm not sure exactly what all-purpose sand
is.
But if it's similar to playground sand, if it kind of looks like beach sand, I don't ever use beach sand, but if it kind of looks like beach, builder sand is what I normally tell people to go buy a 50-pound bag of builder sand, white granular sand. That's what you use. The person who's texting is absolutely right. If you've got undulations or a low spot in your yard, maybe a truck came in your yard and left some ruts in there, and you need to kind of level things out, yes, the white builder sand. And just so that all-purpose sand that you're talking about is not like topsoil, you don't want that. It's not clay. You certainly don't want that. So if it's all-purpose sand, white sand, I think you're going to be okay.
Okay. I've seen it actually a lot more on my walks, a lot of spots filled in with sand.
A lot of folks, you don't see it much anymore. Back in the day, there were a lot of folks that it was just a rite of spring that they would order a truckload of clay and clay soil, which is a mixture of sand and clay,
right?
And put that on their yard. And I never really understood because I'm not sure. I don't think it helped that much, but you talk about a lot of work. And then they only needed about a third of it for their lawn. So what do you do with the other two-thirds of that dirt? So
you get some cats.
Exactly.
Well, I guess that'd be more like sand.
Right.
Here's a question. Yes. Mike, maybe you can help with this from our friend Johnny. I've been trying to get peat moss, and I can't find any peat moss within 100 miles to Pensacola. Do you have any suggestions?
I did not know that. I'm a huge fan. That's a funny way to put it, of peat moss. Okay,
yeah.
Canadian sphagnum peat moss. It comes from Canada. We used to buy it by the truckload, and it would come in with ice and snow on it every time the trucks arrived. But peat moss, if you're putting in a vegetable garden or a flower garden, mixing peat moss with your soil adds organic material. It adds moisture holding capacity. Peat moss is very valuable, but to say there's a shortage of peat moss, I've never heard that. I don't know if that's a supply chain issue or a Canadian issue, because the peat moss comes from Canada, from the bogs up in Canada, and so I don't know that. I'll check into that. I did not realize there was a shortage, but yes, so if you can't get peat moss,
okay, probably
a little bit of topsoil might substitute, but nothing's going to substitute for pure Canadian sphagnum peat moss.
And I'm not sure if you've called ahead, but I'm looking right now. Pensacola's Lowe's Home Improvement Store has peat moss in stock as of yesterday. Today, the Home Depot on Davis Highway in Brent, Florida has peat moss as of this morning. So if you want to call ahead and see if they will hold it for you,
hold
too, that might be some...
Bales. We used to sell a lot of 6 cubic foot bales, big bales, hard to handle. But nowadays you can buy like 1.5 or 2 cubic foot bales, which are easy to handle. I don't want to say it's hard to overdo, but in our sandy soil, a lot of peat moss really works. Put about a 2 to 3 inch layer over the area in which you're going to plant your flower bed or your vegetable garden, then turn it under, and then rake it smooth and plant. I think you'll find you'll be much, much more successful.
Okay, very good. Hey, we were talking about, is it the begonias?
Begonias. Okay. Angel wing begonias.
Angel wing. So our friend Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping actually said Rex begonias are better inside. Angel wing are better outside.
Good advice.
All right. So if you're looking,
yeah, the angel wing we got, I would not think it's going to do that well inside. But the Rex begonia has kind of the same shape wing. I think a Rex begonia, and Paul can correct me on this, I think is a spotted leaf, a real pretty patterned leaf, and darker burgundy color to it, if I'm not mistaken. But we don't plant those begonias as much. Sometimes we get confused because nowadays one of my favorite plants is the sun begonias. Remember the names of the four names of the begonias?
Well, if I...
Gin, whiskey, vodka, and rum.
Oh, my word.
Exactly. The best, and the one I plant every year, I've got them in my front yard right now, is the vodka, which is a bronze leaf with a red blossom, and they do great in the full sun, even the semi-shade.
And I bet they're a good time. Oh. Anybody with the name Vodka, goodness.
Yeah, you could go out and talk to those, Jim.
Yeah, you're there, not really talking to you.
But you know, you can't confuse the angel wing begonias with the sun begonias because they take totally different environments.
Okay, yeah, and it's always good to read that tag. That's the other thing is if you buy your plants from somebody and there's no tag on it for care, double check what the plant actually is with the person you're buying it from. Make sure it's correct. Double check in on Google. You can use Google Images and take a picture of it because you want to know how to take care of it.
Jenna, that is...
Or you're wasting your money.
That's a great point. Paul and I talked about that this morning also. You can go into a garden center, a big box garden center, and see some of these perennials and annuals. And I bet even some of our really, really great gardeners in Pensacola will look at some of those things and say, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, and look at the tag, and even the tag doesn't really tell you what it is because you're not familiar with it. And that's a little bit worrisome because sometimes the big box stores will stock something that, oh, it'll grow beautiful in Atlanta.
Right.
But it won't grow beautiful here.
Nope.
So if you're going to buy a plant that you don't know about, one, go to a local nurseryman who knows and let him tell you if it'll do well here, or do a little internet search before you buy. Because quite frankly, as we all know this, plants are not inexpensive. They're expensive. And you just don't want to plant something that's going to look really nice in May and then in June and July it's going to burn up. You don't want that. So
exactly.
Be real careful about what you buy. And that's why when we talked about those new plants that that fella from Calhoun County identified, he said the same thing. He said, whatever you do, even if you decide on planting some of these newer plants, which are even improvements on plants that we know, don't buy a truckload of them. Buy just a few, experiment, see how they do, and if you really like them, next season you can load up. But be careful what you buy, because you don't want to plant something that's not going to grow in Pensacola. It's not going to grow in Zone 8. If it says, oh, it grows in Zone 4 and 5 and 6,
right?
Forget it.
You got to double check.
Don't do it.
Protect your plants and your purse. 850-437-1620. Have more questions coming in. If you sent a picture, I'll make sure that Mike sees it. He'll go ahead and answer, help identify a few things here for you. We got to take another quick break. Then we got to head over to the news. But text in those questions here to the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What a difference a day made.
How is that?
Ella Fitzgerald.
Almost Dinah Washington.
Dinah Washington.
Yes.
Nice.
It's like butter. It's like butter to your ears. That's what it is. We started with Speedo and just wrapping up this half hour with Dinah Washington.
Boy, that's two ends of the spectrum.
It's a lot of emotions right there. But we are going to take a quick break. I'm going to show you some of these pictures that came in.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll make sure we answer those questions. So stay tuned here to the Garden Line. But let's take a quick break and head on over to Mark Jacobs in the newsroom.
Say it isn't so.
Picture day here on the Garden Line, Mike. We are getting a ton of pictures. I feel like the doctor is in. The garden doctor, not the garden line. Oh, my goodness. 850-437-1620. Let's start with my friend. Here we go. This one is, and I felt sad. Okay. Had lawn service done 2 weeks ago. Fertilized and weed control. Then last week, they came back and added lime to the yard. Since that time, the whole yard has turned brown. And in the picture, you can see the definitive line between the neighboring yards,
right,
and this yard.
Right. And it's almost impossible to say exactly what has happened here. But here are a couple of possibilities. One, looking at the picture, it is just this gentleman's lawn, because lawns to the left and to the right of his property look really good.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened just to his yard. Now, let's go to weed killer. If you put the weed killer on a little too strong, it's going to give it that same look that we just saw in the picture. If you put fertilizer on and did not water it, and depending on the type of fertilizer, how much nitrogen was in the fertilizer, that also can kind of burn a lawn. So I would say it could be one of those two. Well, it could be also one other one. It could be that the fertilizer was put on and it wasn't watered. Now, if somebody's listening to the Garden Line, I bet you anything they watered it. Because they know how strongly we feel about that. So, but if a lawn looks like that, that's probably one of the first questions I would ask. Did you water after the application of the fertilizer? But it could be the fertilizer was too strong, didn't get enough water, or the weed killer has burned it a little bit. That would be my guess on the lawn. That's why you've got to be so careful. Paul and I talked about that this morning when you have a service who puts in plants, say he's a landscaper, he's put in some plants for you, put in some sod and that type of thing. You've got to be sure that you talk to your landscaper, talk to whoever did the service for you, be it the spray guy or whatever, and say, what is my responsibility here? You put it on, what am I supposed to do, and how often am I supposed to do it? Because that's so important, because this gentleman's just spent a ton of money getting this yard treated, and you see what it looks like. So first thing I would do, and I'm sure this gentleman knows this too, is pick up the phone and call whoever did it and ask them to come out and let's talk about what you use and how we can get this yard back in business. I would say my solution to this, and it may not be the right one, because I don't know exactly what happened, I would water it to beat the band. Try to flush that stuff out, whatever has caused that, to go ahead and put some extra water on there to see if you can bring it back. But it's like, if it's the fertilizer that did it, that's the last thing you want to do is say, well, I'll bring it back with some fertilizer. Sometimes you can't double up on these chemicals. It can cause you problems. Talk to the fellow that did it, see what they used, and see if you can get his recommendation on how to recover from this.
Okay, excellent. 850-437-1620 here on the Garden Line. It's 9:40. Squeeze in those questions this morning or pictures. Let's get to Freddie. Freddie texted a picture of a prolific weed, if you could identify it. But I believe you said that you actually plant it.
I looked at it, and from the picture is a little blurry, but I looked at it, and this is green foliage with little yellow flowers on it.
Yes.
It looks like lantana, which is, quite honestly, one of my favorite plants, especially if you've got an area that does not get a lot of irrigation, a lot of water. It's a pure perennial in Pensacola. You plant it, and
it does look
It'll come back every year, and they have some new dwarf varieties.
Sure.
Sometimes this lantana will just take off and go everywhere, but these new dwarf varieties are a little more compact and really make a nice plant in a flower bed, say in front of your shrubbery. But it loves the sun. Lantana, if you can't plant it in the shade, it loves as much sun as you can give it. And it's a great plant. It really is.
It is. Actually, it's very pretty.
It
I like
pretty.
The little delicate yellow flowers.
But you know what? It's really funny, John. You know the definition of a weed is a plant in the wrong place.
Oh, right. Of course. Where are we going with this?
Exactly.
What kind of weed are you talking about, Mike? It's 9:40 in the morning.
Right. You're right.
Calm down. I'm pulling your leg. 850-437-1620. Text in your question to the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here to answer those questions on the Garden Line. What type of tree is this? It was at our old house we sold 3 years ago, and I can't remember the name. It's a beautiful, it's not super tall. It's more like, I call these the bush trees, where they're not super tall. They don't have a massive trunk, but they have these beautiful flowers that bloom, and
right.
I think it's in the hibiscus family.
It is. I think what we're looking at is an althea, which I classified it as a real old-fashioned plant. You see it in a lot of older neighborhoods, and it is kin to a hibiscus, but it is one that will grow every year in Pensacola. So it's got the big blossoms on it, and it's really kind of pretty. It really is. An althea.
It really is pretty. That's, I like this.
Yeah. Sometimes I hesitate saying I'm right, looking at some of the pictures, but I think that's what we've got here.
No, I double checked on the, Dr. Uh-huh. Google.
He's never wrong. Never wrong.
The internet's like right 60% of the time. I think Abe Lincoln said that.
I think so.
So here's another picture that came in. First of all, your backyard is so pretty. I love it. Looks like you have a raised garden bed. I love that too. But our listener says, my spreader missed a few spots in front and backyard. What should I do? It's really obvious. You can kind of see the streak that goes through the yard. Make some nice little walkway. But should I come back with Sunnyland 666 in a few weeks?
Well, I think...
Oh, Forrest. Good morning, Forrest. I'm sorry. I just saw that.
Yeah. Perfect. No question. What you can do, and what you should do, in my opinion, if you have streaked your yard putting out fertilizer, which all of us do at times, is just go back with the same fertilizer and maybe just sprinkle it by hand in those areas that you missed and water it in and give it a little bit of time, a couple, 3 weeks, and it should all even out as the same color. I think that's the best solution. I wouldn't wait. If, in fact, you missed it, I'd go ahead and do it. Now, it's that Sunnyland 666, which is a good fertilizer. If that's the one you use for the rest of the yard, that's the one I would use. If not, I would use the same fertilizer that you used on the part that you did not miss in this part that you did miss. So that's how I would handle that, and I think that'll solve it. But it happens to all of us. It happens to all of us as we fertilize and we streak it a little bit, and then you throw a little bit more fertilizer, and you be even money in there. No problem.
Even money. Streaking in the backyard. Mm. Okay. So here's another question. And also, Forrest, I believe it was Forrest who sent in, a picture of a begonia.
Yes. Yeah, that's the Rex begonia.
The Rex one. And that's so cool.
And the foliage is so, so pretty. It's kind of speckled and spots, and it really is pretty.
I love it. I know the phone line is lighting up. We'll make sure that we get to your question. I'm going to take a quick break here on News Radio 92.3. When we come back, can you put compost in your vegetable bed? That's the question we will get to next. Well, I'm glad to be back. We were getting spicy there for a second, Mike. Getting spicy over here on the garden line.
Absolutely.
Spicy kale. That's what we're talking about.
We're going to solve the world's problems today. That's on the garden line. Well, right. maybe not, but we'll
just
try.
Solve your garden problems.
Exactly.
That's what we will try to. Well, Mike will. I just might,
we'll give it
make
our
it
best
worse.
Shot.
Hey, Scott from Pensacola. Good morning, Scott. What's your question for Mike this morning?
Good morning. I think it's going to be a question that there's really no answer for. These black lizards that have invaded this area. We've watched them eat the butterflies that are coming out of cocoons. And this year we have very few butterflies, but we have thousands of black lizards. And I understand they're invasive, but is there any plant that you could put in that they don't like? We've tried some pepper spray on the perimeter. I don't think it's a good thing.
I have no answer for that. Generally, when we talk about lizards, and you're right, even in my yard, in my home, I've seen many, many more over the last couple of years. But as a rule, we look at lizards and say they control other insects, and they're really beneficial. Now, the one you're speaking about, if it's classified as invasive, I'm not familiar with that. But I think as far as here on the garden line, for me, I really don't have an answer for that. I don't know of any plant or really any chemical that would reduce the number of lizards. I don't really think you want to kill them, or that would keep the lizards from wanting to eat the butterfly eggs or whatever they're doing. So I really, I wish I had an answer for you, but I do not. And you've taught me something this morning. I did not realize that there was a lizard that was invasive, but I'm going to look into that. That's interesting, but I appreciate that.
All right. Sure. They are invasive, and they're killing the green lizards, which are the ones that have been around here forever.
Wow.
And they're good.
Yeah.
So they eat the eggs. They eat eggs of the green ones. And they're doing away with them. But I appreciate it. If you can't find anything,
I'm going to look into it because that's a great question. That's a great question, and we'll look into that and see what we can find out. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Scott, thank you for that. Keep your eyes open and keep us posted.
I've got green ones. I've got green ones and black ones in my yard.
You have black ones? Okay,
yeah,
so I have green ones, and I have a few white ones. I love those little
crazy. White one?
Yeah, you never seen those white ones?
I don't have a white one.
They
no.
like to come out at night.
A night
and
lizard.
And they crawl up the side of the house, and I'm just begging them to eat those black widows. I had a black widow. Mike, I was sitting there just trying to enjoy my own life and be my own self and live. Like, let me live my life. I look over, and there's a black widow, the size, bigger than a quarter.
Really?
Just like hanging out there. I'm pretty sure it made eye contact with me. That thing, she didn't live another minute.
Did you talk to the lizard?
Oh, yeah. I said, you're going to die today. You're the little black widow. You're going to die today. And then she did. There's no way. No. I'm appreciative of all the different bugs and things, but no, not of black widows or banana spiders or...
I hear you.
Spiders in general.
Exactly.
But that's crazy. And Scott, please keep us posted.
Yeah. Scott, we'll look into that. Thanks for that call.
Okay, so let's get to, we've got a few. Oh, boy. Okay, let's talk putting compost in the vegetable bed. How should you go about doing
that? I think it's
that?
Okay. If you're doing your own compost, just consider what you're putting into the compost pile that you're putting together. Is something that's not going to be a danger to your vegetables. I mean, certainly you wouldn't have put any weed killer in there, that's for sure. I mean, nobody would do that. But just be careful what you're putting in there is not going to be of danger. But overall, I think using compost to really kind of substitute, if you will, for the peat moss that the gentleman couldn't find. Remember, he called earlier today, said
yes.
He couldn't find peat moss? If you do a little compost bin and a compost pile and... yes, that's great organic material to put into a vegetable garden. Yes, just kind of identify what you've put in there and be sure nothing is going in there that would damage the vegetable plants or, quite frankly, damage people who are going to eat the vegetables. So, I think it's a good idea.
Okay. I've got some texts coming in. about the lizard, Scott, that we were talking about. I'm like, no.
This is like the armadillo deal we did last year, remember?
I haven't even gotten to the squirrel question.
I think we're on the lizard. So
listen.
Go ahead.
Now you know my wheels are turning to find a lizard song. Okay. So here's a couple. If you want to get rid of the lizards, get a cat. Oh, boy. But I will tell you that I had a cat when I lived in Fort Myers, and she ate a lizard, and the lizard messed with her equilibrium, and she walked sideways for like a month. Are you laughing like that?
I'm sorry.
Okay, we got to pull
it
together.
I was visualizing that cat.
Okay. Anyways, so, you know, just be careful with that. So our friend Mike texted in and said, having a good pest control company will get rid of the insects will most likely help control the lizards and other animals that eat insects. They should move to either your neighbor's house or another location due to, you know, liking the food. They have to find another place to eat. And he believes that you are talking about the blue-tailed tree skink. That's it. Yeah, you don't want your cat to eat the skink. So skinks, if the animals eat them, they mess with their neurological system. Listen, I'm good for some things here.
You're good for it all today. I'm not familiar with the blue-tailed skink. I don't know that.
The blue-tailed skink. And oh my gosh, Vernon said that the black lizards move like snakes, not like normal lizards, and they're bigger than the normal size. You know that we are just going to be looking for these. I'm not walking barefoot outside today. We're going to wait for the ground.
We call this the reptile line here.
Yeah, right? You know what? Actually, I have a brother-in-law who he breeds them. Reptiles and frogs. So I'll go ahead and text. And if you can find a picture, Scott, and text it here, 850-437-1620. If you text it here to me, I'll send that over to my brother-in-law, Patrick, and he'll try to identify it. Talking about compost, head back to that before we take a quick break and come back and try to wrap up with squirrels this morning. I've been using the compost from ECUA in Ellison Park for my vegetable garden for several years, and it seems to work great. It is an affordable option. I love that. Thank you for that. We're going to get back to you on, let me see, I'm trying to find the best ways to keep squirrels out of gardens and potted plants. So we'll have Mike think on that while we take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up this morning on The Garden Line.
And just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the pie.
Mike, if you see me walking sideways, you know that I had lizard for dinner. The infamous squirrel question. I feel like everybody gets unnerved with these pesky squirrels here. So we have about 30 seconds or so. How do you really keep squirrels out of your plants? How?
You don't.
They go out there and fist fight them like a man.
That's all you can do. There's really nothing one can do. You know, it's funny. Paul, I talked about that this morning about the squirrels. He says, Paul feeds them.
Yeah, he's got them as pets. Feed them
corn. And he says they like corn, and if you have a little squirrel feeder, they'll eat that corn and not mess with your other stuff. I will take Paul's word for it, but that's the only solution we know.
Yep. I'm just telling you, go out there face to face and tell that squirrel, man up. Let's duke it out right now. And then let me know how it goes next week here on The Garden Line. Bob Burgee is up next.